Hey everyone, welcome to the inaugural episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. This is episode one, and on today's episode, I will be covering the importance of your why and its importance on your journey to investment banking and other front office roles, and why overlooking this crucial concept is only going to be a cause of frustration and a lack of tangible results. You know, anyone who's ever landed their dream job in investment banking, myself included, or any other front office role as a byproduct of that, so something on the buy side or corporate development or etc., you know, they're grounded in their conviction of their why. They know why they want to work in a particular role, whether it be in banking or something on the buy side. And they understand both the long-term and the short-term needs of what they need to do and how the implications of what their current movements will dictate, you know, whether you're successful or not in the future. So this episode is really important. So let's dive right in. Right. And actually, sorry, before we dive in, guys, I know the folks who are listening on, whether it's Spotify or SoundCloud, when you get home, make sure to check your email or go to the YouTube page and click on the description box and download the PDF so you guys can keep along with me as I go through this page. But, you know, on one end of the spectrum, like I'm going to talk about and give examples of students who kind of have a why in place and they kind of move with, again, purpose, process, discipline. You know, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, there are three things. There's the pain point, there's the issue, and then there's a problem. So there's students whose particular pain point might be as follows, is that students who are frustrated because they're not getting interviews, they don't know how to get interviews, and they don't know what to do to get interviews. They have very low conversion rates when it comes to emails or LinkedIn emails or in-mails, excuse me. I don't even want to get started on some of these horror stories of LinkedIn in-mails that I see. But maybe we save that for another day. But you have students who have low email conversion rates. You know, there's a lack of one-on-ones that are happening. And if you can't get better at informational interviews without having, you know, conversating with professionals, you know, let alone actually doing better in actual interviews, right? So this is kind of the pain point, is that because of lack of these fundamentals and foundations being in place, these students often end up being very poorly prepared, not only for, you know, technicals and behaviorals, you know, obviously because that EQ isn't being developed, but you're not even getting to the interview in the first place. And something that's being overlooked right here is what I just said, is how students are poorly prepared. You know, technicals you can refine and you can kind of ramp someone up in terms of learning technical concepts. But the behavioral side is really important, and not having the EQ is crucial. And how you get to that EQ, guys, is really important, you know. And again, that's a major pain point that students have, you know. And the issue with this, and the reason I see this so much, and you know, I want to apologize actually to any student who watches this video. I want to apologize because I let all of you down. You know, I have content from 4 years ago that I made. It never got dropped. And 4 years is truly is a lifespan. You know, it's literally someone's career in college. And to know that I could have positively impacted someone's life and I didn't, and there are students out there who could have gotten into banking had maybe they had come across my videos that I dropped earlier. So truly want to apologize first and foremost. But pivoting back to the issue is that students, you know, you're really moving aimlessly, and I see it all the time, and it's frustrating because I would think that things would have changed, right? But when I say aimlessly, what I mean is that to this day, people are just being drawn to a career because of buzzwords like, hey, sales and trading. Do you even know what sales and trading means? Do you even know what a sales and trading desk does? Do you even know the types of different products or desks at a bank? So like, you know, saying just things like, oh, I want to work in banking or in private equity or hedge fund or sales and trading, you know, these students are often basing decisions based off of like titles, roles, names, pay, salary numbers. You're thinking about titles and prestige. And listen, all this stuff is very important. It has its place, but there's no point in talking about this stuff if you're struggling to even land interviews, right? And one-on-ones and informational interviews, let alone securing actual offers in the front office. So you obviously need to try something new and remove yourself from the herd mentality. So again, I want to be very clear, because I know people are going to say, hey, Sajan, on one end, you preach a lot about the importance of the right firm, the right branding, and et cetera. And yes, again, that stuff is important. but not in lieu of having something actually in place. Like, what business do you have talking about wanting a career at a mega fund if you're at a non-target with a 3.0 GPA? Like, what are you doing, right? You have a lot more steps you need to do before you even think about banking. And that's where the crux of a lot of my critique comes from, is that you're really worried about, like, the fourth quarter when you haven't even gone through warm-ups yet, or you haven't gone through practice yet for the game tonight. So what are you worrying about the last play in the fourth quarter? You know, let's actually get to the game first. Let's get through practice. So the problem and why this all comes about is that students these days are bombarded with fluff videos. And what does this mean? It's like day in the life, salary, firm rankings. Now, again, I want to be clear, this stuff is important, but it does not replace what it is that you actually need to do. So let's be frank, is like, who gives a F about this stuff, right? This sort of comment section banter and chat room banter is fine in its place. But again, it has nothing to do to help you on your journey into investment banking in a role that you are interested in whatsoever. So really hone in on that, on what I just said. A front office role you're interested in, you will not learn more about how to get that job tactically of like, hey, what homework do I need to do? What research do I need to do? How do I need to short my behaviorals and technicals? How do I draft these emails? How do I speak to these professionals? That stuff is not going to get figured out by watching some of these videos, right? And again, these videos have their place, but they don't replace some of the tactical stuff you need to do. If you're coming from the dirt, again, there's so many students out there who have no business doing this stuff, right? Because again, if you have a 3.0, you're at a non-target, you're at a county college, there's a lot of stuff that we need to do to get you there before you start thinking about this stuff, right? So again, I just want to quickly recap. So you have your pain points that are just often overlooked. We have issues that we're facing. And what are the problems, right? There's a bunch of nonsense and fluff outside. You know, the pain point is not getting interviews. And then the issue is just like, hey, you don't actually know what to do. Not knowing what to do, okay? So then kind of jumping right into it, guys, is that, so you guys are now 7 minutes in, and it's like, all right, Sajan, so all right, cool. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get started. You know, you're right, I've been watching some of these videos kind of moving aimlessly. So like, hey, what do I mean? Like, Sajan, what do you mean when you're placing this emphasis on why, right? So your why is composed of a variety of factors, right? One of them being, let me take a step back, right? When I say it's composed of a variety of factors, that's all well and good, but think of your why as being your guiding north as you approach recruiting, as you approach interviewing, as you approach your networking, as you approach your preparation for all of your stuff. Sorry, guys, give me 1 second. I am trying to erase something here. So again, for the folks who are listening, just make sure to download this PDF when you get home so you can keep along. But again, the reason the why is so important is because the most important thing is that in your life, and especially in your career, you're going to come across times when you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do, right? And what your why is going to allow you to do, it's going to be like, hey, look, you know, this is what I want in my career. These are my passions. These are my interests. So what decisions do I need to make to ensure that I still get to my long-term goal, right? So I'm just kind of writing out here, just illustratively. It's like, hey, you know, you have choice one, you have choice two. But again, how is this all going to impact my long-term decision-making, my short-term goals, right? So again, let's get some concrete examples of what this means. And here's some real reasons and to understand of the importance of having a strong why and its importance, right? So for example, what is your long-term vision for your career, right? Now, what this means is that maybe your long-term vision is that you want to be in corporate development, right? Let's say you're really interested into media, right? Whether it's like, you know, whether it's companies like HBO or Universal or whatever the case is, or Fox or Vice Media, whatever it is, right? And you're like, hey, I'm really interested in that landscape of investing in, whether it's like de novo digital content and everything's in, you know, the streaming space, or maybe actually producing kind of larger thematic content, whatever the case is, you're interested in the business side of that, but you're also interested in the industry. So you're like, all right, cool. My long-term vision is like, hey, maybe I want to work at a media company one day, right? And nowadays media is evolving so much that there can be so many different things you could do in that space, right? Another thing, and I just want to write this down so you guys can have it for later, right? Is your long-term vision, right? Number two is, where do your personal interests lie and how do they align with your career? And this is, again, goes right aligned very well with the number one. So again, I'll use myself as an example and some other kids that I've, you know, students that I've worked with. So for me, growing up, my friends and I, we made short films. So I reached out to a ton of bankers who worked not only specifically in TMT, but also particularly in media. A lot of bankers were on the West Coast who did a lot of financing deals for movie studios. So things like Lionsgate or Summit Pictures. And again, how did I do this? I'd be reading about deals in that space because I was interested in that environment. So again, that's just more about when I reach out to these bankers, it's like, hey, John, you know, I'm a sophomore at Rutgers University. This is my background in finance. I'm really interested in career and investment banking, particularly within the media landscape. You know, I've been making short films with my friends and that's what I'm interested. Saw that you worked on this deal. Would love to talk about it, your career steps, how you got into media. You know, nice, concise, tight, you know, 6 to 7 sentences, you know, 8 sentences, max 10. So you're like at like a 1.5, maybe 2 paragraph, really tight paragraph. And then kind of end it with saying like, hey, understand that you're really busy day to day, but would love to speak with a direct report or an associate on your team, you know, if you're tied up, but would love to learn about the group and some of the deals you guys are working on. And, you know, you can kind of tie that in by mentioning, hey, read about this deal and this financing you guys did or this capital raise, you know, debt, you know, equity raise or debt offering, whatever the case is, right? And that's how you do it, right? And now the third point of that, guys, is have you thought about and given any credence, and again, a lot of this is going to be impacted by, so it's funny, this third point I'm going to make is about what are your thoughts and passions, both where you're located geographically, and kind of industry sector preference. Now, when I say this point about geography and industry preference, you know, it's funny because if you're a top-notch student and a candidate, you know, you can have your pick of the litter. You really can. If you're really good, 4.0, great experience, great body of work, you network, you go work anywhere, whether it's LA, Austin, San Diego, Boston, Chicago, New York, wherever you want to go, you'll find a job, right? Just because you have that body of work, you're a top candidate. Now, on the flip side, if you are a poor candidate, the reason, or you go to a non-target, and again, this is not an equivalence, meaning that just because you go to a non-target does not mean you're a poor candidate. But what this broadly means is that if you're a poor candidate, you have to start giving some thought to like, hey, my best shot at getting into the front office might be going to another city, right? Milwaukee. And again, Atlanta. I'm pausing right now because I don't want anyone to hear this and be like, Sajan, are you implying that Milwaukee is a second-tier city or whatever the case is? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that New York City is very competitive. LA is very competitive. San Francisco is very competitive. Obviously, people can argue and debate online of, again, there's also different groups and different firms at these various cities. But again, the point being is that if you're a non-target or you're a lesser candidate, and again, you have to be honest with yourselves, how you stack up to your peers, you might have to think about this, like, hey, am I okay moving to another city to get my foot in the door and just getting into the game, being in the ecosystem? You know, this is the stuff that you have to start thinking about. And again, also, if you are a top-notch candidate too, you're probably already doing this. You're already thinking about, hey, what are some industries that I want to be involved in? What ecosystems do I want to immerse myself in? So you're probably already doing this, but this is more geared towards students who might not be getting those prime spots, you know, in the New York cities or LA and things like that, right? Or San Francisco, for example. Now, excuse me. The fourth thing, really, really, really important. Really important. And I don't see, you know, this bothers me a lot. Things have gotten better, I think, just because they just meme stocks and retail investing and things like that are on the rise. And I can see it a little bit more now in the past year or two. And even when I would go speak on colleges, I would see a little bit more of this. But the number one thing is that I don't see students doing at all is actually doing things to be about this life. So for example, are you actually following things that kind of resonate with your career choice, right? Is there a particular stock, a particular credit, a company? Do you follow something in the VC space? Are there investments or M&A or LBO deals that you read about, right? And the resounding answer is no. Like, there are majority of these students that reach out to me like, hey, Sajan, how do I get into investment banking? Hey, can you coach me? Can we do this one-on-one? Like, I'm like, hey, so talk to me about investment banking. Why do you want to work in banking? What are some deals you read about? And, you know, they might say something because they heard something on the news, and then I'll go a little deeper. I'm like, hey, let's talk about that valuation, or let's talk about some of the transaction details. Hey, you know, the purchase price was like $12 billion. Like, what were your thoughts on that? Did you get a chance to read into the capital structure of like what the pro forma company is going to look like? What are your thoughts on the debt that they're taking on? Or, hey, maybe this was an all cash deal. Like, what are your thoughts on that? That, you know, maybe a company that just recently went public is now going to spend $500 million in cash on an acquisition, but it's going to fuel growth. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Like, asking questions that finance people talk about just in normal, like, these are normal conversations of like, hey, what are your thoughts on this company? What are your thoughts on this sector, this market? Is this valuation too rich? What do we think? Excuse me. You know, hey, what do we think about their debt? What do we think about their working capital? Hey, have we looked at their inventory? Are these driving some concerns that we have? Like, you know, these are things that shouldn't like be of concern for him. Like, oh shit, like I can't talk to this. I'm scared. You know, this is like normal stuff that you're going to talk about when you're working in banking or in private equity or in corporate development or whatever it is, you know, in strategic finance. These are the types of finance concepts, accounting, finance, economic. These are the types of discussions you're having, right? And as a student, the more, yes, it's hard, it's daunting, but the more you immerse yourself in reading about these deals, reading about things that are going on, having conviction and a point of view on what you're doing, it's like, oh wow, like this is not just some student who just wants to work in banking because, hey, you get paid a lot of money and it's prestigious and people, just because everyone else is doing it, you actually want to work in banking because you have a genuine reason that resonates with you as to why you want a career in there. So that's something that 9 out of 10 times will set you apart. You go to a conference, you go to any event, information session, and you go up to the speaker and be like, hey, Joe, read this, you know, read about your profile, and you know, I really honed in on this fact you made about like how these type of deals are really catching your eye. And it's interesting you say that because like I totally agree, and here's why. And you know, look, with that being said, I know you're really busy, but would love to talk to, you know, a direct report and your team, and any advice they'd have for me as someone who wants to kind of be in this space one day or potentially be in your shoes. So I know you're really busy, but would love to connect with anyone on your team. They're like, oh shit, this kid's not the technical prowess is there to an extent, because if you could speak to a deal knowledgeably, and sure, you could, you know, you could put a layer of gold on it so you sound smarter than you are. But again, perception is everything. No one's going to say no to that. Like, hey, this kid knows what they're talking about. Hey, let me CC my VP or associate. They'll talk to you, whatever, and, you know, go from there. And obviously, once you get the baton passed to you at that level, you know, those are, you know, those are other videos in terms of how to do well in those conversations or not. But again, there are things that you need to do specifically so you can be knowledgeable. And again, you should be doing this stuff because you want to. You know, a lot of times kids look at me, students look at me like, oh, Sajan, this is a lot of work, it's a burden. But it's like, what do you mean? Like, don't you want to work in finance? Don't you want to work in banking? Don't you want to work in hedge funds? So like, shouldn't you be doing the research and homework on your own to begin with? So there's also a little bit of a disconnect there when students look at this, you know, when I kind of give them a game plan, and like, if I'm coaching them, like, hey, like, this is kind of what we need to see. If you want to see like results, this is the action plan. And it's kind of like, hey, there's a lot of work. And I'm like, yes, I know it's a lot of work, but you can't say you want to be in banking and then not be able to speak to like accounting concepts or valuation, or not be able to speak to deals, right? That's just not congruent. So that's something really, really, really big. And then number five, again, and look, I know the students that I'm really going to resonate with, it's going to be a very niche student. And that's fine, because if you are really about that life and you want to be like a Bill Ackman and you want to be a Ken Griffin, you want to be like immersed. And again, not everyone's going to be at that level, which is fine. But if you want to be like, I am a finance person through and through, this question that I'm about to ask students, number five, and definitely drop a comment, I'm really excited and interested to hear who people's sparks were, inspirations were, but there have to be folks that you look up to, right? Investors, CEOs, founders, alumni. And again, if you're about that life and I ask that question, you should be able to go into like a 1 minute, 2 minute concise pointed speech about like, yeah, Sajan, you're right. Like, I am interested, like, hey, you know, Thomas Tull, legendary pitcher, is like, I'm interested in finance because of him. I read about him working in banking, starting his film company. And I was like, yo, that is what I want to do. I want to learn how to do deals in the media space. I want to learn how to invest in deals in media. I want to learn all the players in that space. And then I want to start my own media company. Like, you should have that done, right? And if you don't, it's okay. But again, get started, right? Start doing your homework. Start immersing yourself in this world. And what the beauty is if you do all this stuff organically, you're going to learn and grow organically, right? Because you're going to be like, hey, I'm really immersed in consumer retail. There are a plethora of consumer retail companies that have gone public in the past year that have been started by ex-bankers, private equity folks, consultants, finance people. And if you're about that life, then it's like, hey, go do that. Like, for the reason I'm making this example, to be clear, is because there are so many paths and stories of folks who have done what you probably want to do that you can go, like, all right, cool. Hey, this person worked in consumer retail banking. They did M&A. They worked at this shop. And then, hey, they teamed up with this person in business school. And then they started this business. Here's like their pitch deck that, you know, whatever. Like, there is so much out there. That this is a question is that, hey, are there folks you look up to? If you don't have this down, you know, I do sort of look at students. I'm like, hey, you can't tell me you're about finance in this life if you can't tell me like three people that you look up to that are like, hey, this is the path that I'd like to follow. And this is the path that I want to emulate because of this, this, and that. So look, I want to pause there. Because I want to really stress how important this is, that without knowing these things, or at least sitting down and asking yourself critically how your passions, your professional goals align, how can you possibly move with purpose, conviction, and most importantly, make the correct decision if you don't answer the questions above? Right? Which is, why do I want to work in investment banking or another front office role? It sounds simple enough. But students are simply just not doing this, and that is why they fail, right? If you can't answer your why with detail, again, if detail is requested, and you can't explain how there is a plan behind your actions, then you're lost. And I understand this because I, too, at one point felt paralyzed, and I didn't know what direction to move in because... And there are a plethora of students who feel this, right? It's like, hey, I want to work in finance. I want to make money. I want to work on these deals. I want to analyze companies, and I want to do something exciting in finance, but you don't know what to do. You don't know how to move. And I know what that pain point feels, right? Like, I know having that feeling of like a paralysis, like, hey, what do I even do? How do I even get started? So again, that's why let's take a pause. Let's sit down and let's ask yourself, hey, what are my professional goals? What are my passions? How do they align and intertwine with one another? And now that I know that, let me now look and do some research into investors or professionals in that space, whether they're consultants or bankers, whatever the case may be, who are kind of in that ecosystem, in that sector, in that vertical, you know, in a coverage group or at a firm that is doing what I want to do. Now let me look at their path. Now let me try to find more people who are doing that. Now let me find deals that people are working on in that space, and let me try to identify people who have worked in those deals and reach out to them, right? So again, it all starts with you. It's working on yourself and asking yourself, hey, what is it about my professional interests that align with my personal interests, and how can I kind of combine them, mesh them together, and find people who are doing what I want to do one day, right? Excuse me. And that's the importance of really figuring this out. Skipped ahead right there. Let me go. So if folks who are listening on Spotify, I'm just going to clear up my slide. Actually, you know what? Let me just use another empty slide. So a question that I get asked from students, and rightfully so, before kind of they get onboarded or I work with them one-on-one, and number one question is like, all right, Sajan, hey, look, I get it. I'm lost, aimless, not sure what I'm doing. I need to get pointed in the right direction. I need to align my why. I get all that. But how is having a clear why going to help me? The simple answer to that is having your why in place is not only going to help you with everything in terms of recruiting and getting into investment banking, but also the future. So there are three, there's kind of several big points, but let me write them down, right? So the first thing is networking. So networking efforts. The second thing is, your roles, the roles and firms that are out there. And again, I understand that at a younger age, kind of the roles that are you're going to be targeting are pretty straightforward, but I'm talking a little bit more long term of, hey, what comes after your 2 and 2 or your 2, 2 and 2, which is like, 2 years banking, 2 years PE, 2 years business school. What's after that, right? The third thing is your story or your pitch. This is also important too. It is your guiding north. Okay, so the first thing, hey, Sajan, why does having a clear why help? All right, so first thing is that I want to, when I talk about, hey, it's going to help you better focus on your networking efforts, is look, I understand that it is helpful to have a wide, broad outreach and network across roles and firms. And you might have to do this even if you do start early, just full disclosure. And if you're starting late, the strategy is a little different. But if you start early, and key word right here is that if you start early, which a lot of students don't, but now you have to, given that recruiting starts almost like end of your freshman year, start of your sophomore year. If you start early, aimlessly just broadly networking isn't needed. And it's best to be avoided, in my opinion, right? Because if you know you're really interested in TMT, IBD, now again, just to be clear, yes, not everyone's going to get into Goldman TMT. That's fine if you don't. There are plenty of other world-class and great TMT groups out there on the street. But back to this example, that if you know you wanted TMT investment banking, then you can gear all your focus on this, right? It's like, hey, what are some of the more true regional boutiques, some of the more elite boutiques that stand out, middle market firms, bulge brackets? Again, who's led on what deals? What are the company sizes? And this is really important too. I'm talking about these companies because where do a lot of bankers go, guys? Go to the buy side, they go to corporate development, right? So if you're really about that TMT life, you're like, hey, I want to be a telecom banker, whatever. I fucking love doing deals about power lines or whatever it is, right? If you're really into telecom and media, right? You will be like, hey, what are all the deals that these middle market firms have worked on? These boutiques, regional firms, whatever. What are all these companies? And then reach out to the guys in corp dev at these other companies. And then guess what? Because those corp dev guys came from banking groups and they're going to be able to introduce you to their people that they know in their old groups, right? Again, if you know exactly what it is that you want to do and you're reading about those deals and you're following companies in that space and you're learning about that ecosystem, it becomes just natural for you to be like, it's not going to feel forced is what I'm saying, right? You're not going to be like, when you're typing up an email, you're not going to be stressed that, oh, it sounds like some generic cold email template that I found online. It's going to be a pointed email with a purpose. It's like, hey, I'm a sophomore at this school. I'm really interested in the telecom space because of XYZ. Notice that your company worked on this deal. Wanted to reach out to you because I noticed you have a career in banking and now you work at Corp Dev. Would love to learn kind of why you made that transition, some of the work you do day to day, and kind of what advice you might have for me for a student who might want to work in a similar role like you one day. No one's going to say no to that. They're like, wow, this is going to be an engaging conversation with the student who clearly knows what the heck they want to do. Let me give him 20 minutes on the phone or give her 20 minutes on the phone. No one will say no to that, right? And now that kind of ties in very nicely to number two, guys, is that you're going to be able to better focus on targeting specific roles and firms, and it's going to allow you to better learn, hey, who are the players? Who are the firms? Who are the people? The tangential firms? Who are the lawyers, the lenders, the investors, the legislators, right? Who are the literally the legal side of the space of the people who are impacting these deals? That's also important. And again, this sounds overboard, but if you want to be that person in that space over the course of a career, it's going to help to know everyone in that ecosystem, right? Versus just being siloed within the world of finance, right? And just to be clear, when I say siloed, you want to start expanding your network to the other players in your ecosystem. So again, if you're in TMT banking, there are TMT lawyers, there are TMT focused kind of lobbying firms, there are TMT focused advisors and consultants and turnaround guys and investors and lenders. And you want to really get to know everyone in that space, the newsletters, the podcasts, all that stuff, right? Now, to be a little bit more pointed when I say specific roles and firms and how this is really helpful. Chances are, even if you get into banking, you're not going to go into banking long term, right? That may not be the case. You might end up working in corp dev, be a CEO, CFO, VP of finance, whatever. You might go into consulting, you know, product. You might go into some tangential route, right, that goes anywhere, right? You might go work at a Fortune 500, whatever the case is. So you want to start giving some thought to, like, hey, what are some of these roles that are really interesting to me? And who are people who have left banking and pivoted to these roles? And there are hundreds of people out there who have pivoted out of banking who are in these roles that you should absolutely be networking with, because they left banking so they can tell you and give you advice and kind of help guide you a little bit better. But guess what? Most of all, they probably know people. They know people who are still in banking, people in their old groups, people that they work with for actual deals as it pertains to their job. And I'm going to end it with this, is that this is the most important thing. What does this type of expansive work do, guys, right? It's going to allow you as a student to better explain your story and have a very tight pitch in place and a very eloquent background that's going to be, hey, this is an organic reason that resonates with me as why I want a career in banking. So now, not only do you understand, hey, where do I see myself fitting into this space or this ecosystem as time moves on and my experience increases, right? So it's like, hey, let's think about my career over the span of like 5 or 10 years. And there are three ways my career could go. One way is like traditional banking, buy side business school, and then we'll see what happens. It might be banking, corp dev business school. We'll see what happens. It might be corporate buy side and then something else. Right. And my career can go in these three different paths over the course of 10 years. excuse me, but let me understand how I fit into this ecosystem. So now, just to kind of expound on that example, is like, do you want to be an advisor working in investment banking long term, right? That's one path. The second path is like I said, you want to be an investor in that space. But then again, you want to be an investor, but at what stage, right? Do you want to be an angel investor? Do you want to work at a seed state? Do you want to work at a growth level? Like, right, where do you see yourself fitting into that capital structure as an investor, right? At what stage, right? Do you want to work internally to a company, right? Do you want to do internal M&A? Do you want to be a VP of finance? Do you want to be a CFO, right? Having this knowledge is going to help you craft your story so much more clearly. And it's going to allow you to speak to people, tell them your goals in a very clear and concise manner. And look, if this sounds like a lot of work, then know that it is, because this is the type of work you need to put in to have a clear message about what it is that you want to do. And look, it doesn't come easy, right? It takes time to be like, to read about this stuff, read about these deals, learn about this stuff, craft these personalized emails, reach out to people, have conversations, you know, actually learn about what it is that you want to do, why you want to do it, learn about these roles. It doesn't happen overnight. And just the same way, guys, you wouldn't travel without, you know, a destination on Google Maps or Waze or Apple Maps for whoever uses Apple Maps. Your why is your map. It's your address, right? It's going to allow you to know and tell you where you're going and how you're going to get there, right? Because your why is going to know, again, your where and then your how. So that is why it is imperative that you know that, because it's going to, again, it's going to tell you where you're going and how you will get there. So again, be brave. Don't look at this as a lot of work, guys. Like, obviously, send me questions, download the PDF. There's some like guiding points that I give to kind of help you structure this why. And then in the next episode, that's what we're exactly going to do, is I'm going to give a case study of like how I formulated my why, how it helped me with my networking conversations, how it helped me with my emails, how it helped me with my informational interviews, and how I kind of formulated it, the type of work I did, how it structured my days as a college student. And that's going to be really important. So again, before I wrap, I did want to get to some Q&A. There were some students that reached out prior and were like, hey, and this is from when I go talk on campus. It was like, hey, what do I do if I don't have a why yet, right? And that's totally fine if you don't, whether you're a freshman, master student, senior, it's totally fine if you don't have a why yet. But the most important thing to do is to at least figure out what sport you want to be in or what league. So what that means is, like, you can't just walk around aimlessly, and I can't even give you a pass unless you know what you want to do, even at a high level, right? So you can't be like, oh, I want to work in venture capital, hedge funds, I want to be a trader, sales and trading, equity research, asset management, investment banking, private equity. Like, you can't be that student who's like, yo, I want to do everything. You know, you at least need to know what vertical you care about and then start nurturing and investing time into that. So look, I'm okay if you say, like, I'm okay if you say something like this, but I know most people won't have this, but I'm going to give you the example, right? Like, is that ideally someone would have a crystal clear why. So something like, hey, Sajan, you know, I want to work in sell side advisory. I want to focus on media sell side advisory and then buy side because my goal is to join an established premier media company. And I want to get exposure to sell-side transaction, whether that's M&A, divestitures, debt and equity raises, you know, whatever sell-side transactions encompass, there could be a lot. I want to get buy-side exposure, hey, the due diligence, the investing in a similar companies, understanding what moves this market, because it's going to allow me to be set up to either start my own media company, join a startup media company in a CFO, CEO role, or also just kind of lead corporate development at a media company. So again, that's like a very focused why of like, hey, I'm passionate about media. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to work at a Verizon or a Disney or AT&T or Vice Media or HBO. And like, this is literally what I want to do. Like, some people will have that, some people won't. If you don't, that's fine. And I don't expect you to have that. But what I do, especially after one episode, right? But what I do expect you guys, before you come to episode two, this is what I expect you to have. You know, ideally, is that, hey, look, Sajan, I think I want to be in buy side, but I know I can't get into the buy side right after school because I don't go to a Target. I go to non-Target. So some of that buy side recruiting isn't there. So right now I'm going to focus on a sell side role. So it's going to give me the exposure because I know it's going to open up some of these buy side roles down the line. So it's like, all right, you can start exploring from there. You know, you want to do sell side investment banking because you want to get exposure to, you know, different types of M&A deals, capital markets activities, whatever the case is, right? So then start doing a little bit of homework, right? Explore what areas and types of sectors and types of deals that you're interested in, right? What types of industries do you care about? What are some of the firms who are the best in their place? What are some of the groups that stand out, right? What regions, what are some of the teams? Who are some of the top bankers in that space, right? Start doing that homework, right? And what that's going to allow you to do is like, hey, now I know, hey, what are some of the firms? What are some of the roles? What are the best case scenario? What are the regional firms? And you can start formulating a strategy. And again, I'll get into more of this into other episodes. But the first thing is like, let's take some time. All hope is not lost. I know it may feel like that, especially if you're like a junior or senior. But I promise you, all hope is not lost. And again, remember, guys, figuring this out is going to solve that pain point of not knowing how to move, right? So let's get on that. Let's figure this out so you can start moving on your path to getting into investment banking. So that is it. That is the first episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. Look, guys, I hope you liked watching this video as much as I liked making it for you guys. And look, if you know any other students who'd find it helpful, please, please share this video with them. And again, in conclusion, your why is incredibly important. You know, there's no denying that. And I'm more than happy to discuss that with anyone who thinks otherwise. You know, understanding this concept, guys, is so crucial so you can move with direction and purpose. So your homework right now is download this PDF. Start thinking about what areas and what sell side groups and firms, what buy side verticals that you're interested in, and what your why, your passions are, you know, what companies you follow, what stocks, what deals you follow, and really start immersing yourself into that. And like I said, next episode, I'm going to tell you exactly how to figure out your why. I'm going to actually help you craft it. So I'm really excited about that. So guys, if students out there, you know, send your questions, your feedback, drop a note in the comments, and we'll actually kind of craft your why. And again, thank you so much for watching this. I'm really excited. Make sure you like, subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Take care.